Good evening. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We will pick up in our study of the life of David. I was trying to remember the last time we were here. I think it was on a Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. We've had some things going on with Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and with the Lord's Supper. And I'm glad to be back, and I hope that you've been preparing, and I hope that you've been reading, and if not, then I challenge you to go back and read, because sometimes if we don't keep up with the context or with the narrative, it's easy to just get here and forget where we were and what we were doing. And sometimes I think it's our responsibility to study and to be prepared. And I'm just going to kind of catch us up where we are. We're going to pick up in verse 19, but before that, to understand the narrative, David's fleeing, right? We've been looking at think about that for a second. I got to thinking about that this week. I was at my house. I thank God for the piece of property that we live on. I don't have any bad neighbors. As a matter of fact, my neighbors probably have a bad neighbor, meaning me. But as far as chaos, trouble, I'm at peace. There's a sanctuary at my house. And I was thinking about that the other day with this weather we've been having. Man, just think if I was to lose all that and I'd have to pack up what I have or what I can tote on my back and leave. I got to thinking about that. And that's where David's at. David had more than what I have. David was the king of the nation living in the king's palace. And now all of a sudden, what's he doing? He's gathering what he can, just enough to put on his person to go fight or just to survive. And he's having to flee the city. I think when we read this, we can't really relate. But just think about if that's what we had to, just think if we became refugees today, all of us, couldn't come back here, and we had to flee out. That's where David's at. And here we see he's fleeing from Jerusalem. He's accompanied by, the scripture says, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and this band of 600 men that were with him. More than likely, these were the men that went out and met him at Gath, those that were fleeing from Saul, a bunch of renegades. One commentator I read behind said, we see how much influence David has had on these men, because these men were mavericks. They were renegades. They were ones leaving that were indebted. We see that in 1 Samuel. Those that were in debt, those that were what pretty much rebellious against the local government of that day, meaning Saul and his men, and they went and joined themselves with David. And what did David do? David had great influence on these men. So much so that these men formed a character that followed after David. And we see here, as one commentator said, probably one of the greatest groups or most noble set or heroes that we've ever found in the scriptures, this one group of men here. We see that there was a remnant that was faithful today. Remember, we looked at that a couple weeks back, this remnant that was faithful to their king. And I think it's easy to see here that David, from time to time, as we go through the scriptures, is a type and picture of Christ. And even though he was a great man, David was a great man. I know a lot of times as we go through this and we are studying David's life with a microscope, what we have recorded, and as we do, we find a bunch of faults. Let me ask you this, how many of y'all would want to be examined like this? How many of y'all would want somebody to record your life and have a dude study it all week and then bring it before everybody else and dissect what you've done all week? David was a great man.
Right.
And we see that even though he was a great man, just like Christ was a perfect man, we see that David was openly rejected by the majority of his Jewish brethren. So here we are. I'm just trying to set the stage where we can take off. Verse 19 reads, "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd help us tonight. Grant us grace to see truth. Help us, in spite of us, that God, we can learn more about you so that we can serve you better. In Christ's name, amen. Here we see a conversation, right, that's taking place between King David and this Gittite, Ittai. If that's how you say his name, that's how I'm going to say it. It is because of this conversation that we see here, because we don't know a whole lot about this guy, but we see a conversation taking place, and it's because of this conversation and because the Holy Spirit saw fit to put it in the Scriptures that we get a small glimpse into just one of the characters that was associated with David. Because David was surrounded by a bunch of people. You know, we need to take note here what Ittai says as we go through this, and we won't cover his answer. We won't be able to get to all that tonight. I challenge you to go back and read it. But what he does and what he says, we need to understand, it should stand as an example for all of us. Because what we see somebody, or what we see here, is that somebody who is what? Faithful. Somebody that is noble. Somebody that has character. Somebody that has convictions. Is it good to have convictions? It is. But what's even better than having convictions is standing behind your convictions and letting your convictions, that is godly convictions, govern you. He was not an Israelite. Yet he chose to remain with David. Here David asked Ittai, he said, why are you also going with us? Is that not what our text says? He says, wherefore goest thou also with us? And it's not that David doesn't want him to go, but I truly think that David was puzzled in one sense as to why this stranger would stick with him when his own flesh and blood had turned against him. Think about that for a second. This is a stranger, not a non-Jew. Now, I understand he knew who David was. I understand all of that. But here we see sometimes it seems as if some people, we look at that with our church family. Y'all realize there are people in our church family that are more faithful to us than people that are in our biological family? More loyal, more helpful, more beneficial. Here it's almost as if David is trying to let this dude off the hook. That's what I see here. In other words, he's saying, Ittai, I'm not sure if you meant to come with us or if you just so happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time and you felt obligated to come. It's as if David's saying, whatever it may be, you would probably be better off just going back where? To Gath. You'll probably be better off going back to your king than being associated with me. I think that's what's taking place here. One thing that we must understand is that by being associated with David, he instantly becomes what? The enemy of the new regime that's taken over. Right? By default. Now, we see this man doesn't have any problem with that, but we see David trying to convince him, you don't need to come with us. Because if you come with us, you know what? You're going to be a refugee like I am. Here we can say that his identity was defined by who he followed, right? Is that not true of us? If he followed David, he belonged to David, right? And if he belonged to David, then the hatred that was pointed towards David would be pointed towards who? He didn't care, but David's trying to remind him of this. The question also comes to us, who do we follow? Who do we identify with? I think we need to ask ourselves that, right? You know, I've had multiple identities my whole life. You say, what are you talking about? Well, throughout stages of life, all of us. I mean, one time I was a ball player, you know. I ain't going to say I was the best, but I was decent enough to be considered a ball player. Then there was times I considered myself a hunter or whatever. And now my main identity is, there was times I was an outlaw. How many of y'all can testify? A rebel. Rogue. Who do I identify with now? Now I'm a believer. A born again believer. And my identity now is not tied up in what I used to do, but the one who saved me is who I belong to, and therefore that's who I identify with. And sometimes we have to realize that's who we identify. And when we have that purpose, then what we do is we seek. Me and Joyce was talking about that the other day. I don't know if she remembers because I was probably just rambling. But back, we see these young folks like Luke hunting. There's pressure to always kill something because everybody's asking me, what did you kill? Why? Because that's your identity. I've been there. I've done that. Working, making money. Man, you've been doing it. We got to be careful what we identify. We ought to be able, we ought to work. We've been learning that in Sunday school, have we not? But our jobs and our profession should not be our identity. What should be our identity? Who we, what, follow? Who do we identify with? Who do we belong to? Do you belong to those who have the power and rule like Absalom and are most popular today? We got to ask ourselves that. Is that what we want? Do we want to be popular? Or do we belong to him who has been rejected? Just like David. We see that here. One has been accepted. One has been rejected. Here David is asking Ittai, why are you going with me? I personally think that Ittai represents those who have been compelled to stay with David. And I think that's why we have an insight here, because we won't get through all this conversation, but we see his answer. And I think that's representative of the whole that goes with David. And I think we can say the same for us. And the answer that he gives would likely be the same answer that would be present in the hearts of the remnant that stayed with David. You know, this dialogue here reminds me of what the Lord Jesus asked of his 12 followers in John chapter 6. I've been reading John chapter 6 this week. When Christ was teaching, and the scripture says many of the other disciples no longer did what? Identified or followed him. Just to set the context of what was taking place in John chapter 6. I challenge you to go back. There's a lot in John chapter 6. I tried to narrow it. I was going to try and like summarize that. Man, there's so much going on in that chapter. I couldn't summarize it. There's no way. You just got to go read it. All that was taking place. But in order to see what was taking place, Jesus had just taught them a series of hard lessons. And this lessons was concerning him and concerning themselves. And this teaching revealed what was truly in the hearts of some of his disciples, or so-called disciples, should we say. Many of them opposed this. Said, man, this is hard. This is too radical for us. And in that, we find some serious forms of unbelief. But this time it wasn't just amongst the Jews. Where was this unbelief? It was amongst those that proclaimed to be followers of Christ. It was amongst those that claimed to be his disciples. And the scripture says many departed and walked not with them anymore. In other words, just went on back. So after that departure, Jesus confronts those who remain, because they didn't all leave, right? There was a remnant, right, that stayed with Christ. He confronts them and he asks them, he said, do you also want to go away? Now I say that because this reminds me of what's taking place here. David's asking him, right? We find Peter saying what? What did Peter say? Y'all know these verses. Where are we going to go? Who are we going to go to? Where else is there to go? Where else can we go? You have the words of what? Eternal life. Now we must ask ourselves this very question. Do we want to stay with the Lord, or do we want to return back and walk with Him no more? What's our answer? Are we going to be faithful to Him? You see, the thing about Ittai was this. He understood David was faithful to him. So therefore, he was faithful to David. See, it was reciprocating. He loved David because David first loved him. Now, I'm trying to tie that in. We love Christ. Why? Only because he first loved us. And we follow him because why? That efficacious call that he's called us, he's drawn us. Look at verse 20. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. Notice here that David, he's continuing with this, right? He continues with his attempt. What's he trying to? Y'all tell me what he's trying to. Maybe I'm seeing something here that's not here. He's trying to convince this dude that he does not need to follow him. Is that what's taking place? Yep. As we've already mentioned and said, I think David's attempt here is genuine. He's not playing games. He's not trying to use reverse psychology. He's not trying to be passive aggressive, right? He's not calling this man out, trying to test his loyalty to see if he will follow him. This dude was following him, and David's trying to what? Tell him, don't. Go back. Leave. I truly think that he realizes the situation that he's in, speaking of David, and that it would be foolish for someone like Ittai to follow him because of just how uncertain David's future was. He said, man, you don't want to follow me. We're going to come to find out in a minute. He said, I don't even know where I'm going. Y'all realize the situation that David's in? Paul said this, follow me, what? As long as I follow Christ. David's saying, don't follow me because I don't know where I'm going. You see the difference? David understands that all of this could very well be part of the chastening of the Lord, and he did not want, this is what I personally believe, he did not want anyone else to have to suffer with him. That's where David's at. He understands this could be God chastening me. This is part of the judgment. He didn't say that openly, but in his mind, I think at one point David's probably discouraged, but at the same time, David is trusting in the Lord. Why? Because he's done work that David has done, been through so much. He understands that God has been faithful to him. And in spite of what's taking place, David is still trusting the Lord. How many of us would quit at this point? Think about it. I opened up saying about me losing everything. What would we do if we lost everything we had? This church, our country, our nation, our families. Would we quit? I don't know. I would hope not. And I hope we don't have to go through that. But where would we be if we had absolutely nothing? What would we do? It's easy to raise our hand and praise the Lord when everything's perfect, right? I think David's in a place where he don't know what's going to happen to him. He doesn't want others to have to suffer with him. And here we see that David wanted what was best for this man. And while David was in power, he was willing to share the blessings that he had with those that were faithful to him. But now that things are going south, David said, you don't have to follow me in this time of trouble. Here we see David trying to convince this man to leave. Why? I think he did love him. And I think that he truly had no idea whether or not God would give him the victory or if God would bring him back to Jerusalem. He had no clue. And David's in a situation where he's saying,